Welcome, welcome, welcome. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing okay? All right. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And here we are midweek once again. Once again, midweek. Seems like it was just Sunday the other day. Well, it was Sunday the other day. And days are flying by, I guess what I'm trying to say. But so good to be here tonight, and boy, it was cool this morning. I'm loving it. Y'all like that? Yes. Some yes, some no. Okay. And but anyway, it is that time of year, and the season has come. Before you know it, it's going to be Thanksgiving and then Christmas, and whew, time is flying. You better hold on to a pew. Time is flying. But anyway, I do got some things we want to mention tonight. We're going to have a special time of prayer. Normally we have a silent prayer time on Wednesday nights, just everybody to themselves. But as you know, I'm sure you do, you're aware of Hurricane Milton that's moving in tonight down in Florida. I want to have a special time of prayer audibly tonight for all of those people down there. I'm sure some of you have family. Marianne, I'm sure you got friends and family a lot. Got a special prayer request today concerning the storm that's going to hit the hurricane in a little while. Alan Clayton had sent me a message wanting to start a prayer chain, and I shot it over to Brother Randy, but he has some friends down in Florida as well that just need prayer. And just hearing all the news people today and some of the Christian radio stations, I mean, they're really prepared. I mean, you know, they just went through Helene, and then of course up in the Carolinas as well, and North Georgia and Tennessee, and so they're trying to recover from that. And then now we have Milton, and I hear there's another one after that, and it's just terrible, terrible. Some people were talking about surviving Hurricane Andrew. Y'all remember Hurricane Andrew? I remember Hurricane Katrina. Y'all remember Katrina? Yeah. Katrina wasn't no joke. Katrina is when my mom and dad lived down in Mississippi, right at Biloxi, and just totally leveled out much of the place, the community down there. And in fact, that's what got them back to Georgia, was Katrina. And so just a lot of devastation, a lot of lives lost from Helene, and just a lot of rebuilding. Some of the stories have been terrible to hear. Loved ones being found, some still missing. And saying that, I want to mention this. I got a call today from Dion at the children's home. And this is the first I heard of this. I don't know, Randy or Chrissy in the back, if you know about, y'all know about this going on, but Brother Dion is getting ready to go up to the Carolinas to take a load for hurricane relief for some of the people, the communities up there, and I believe CJ's going too. Have you heard of that? No? Okay. And a couple of the families are going. I asked him, is this a CCH thing, Calvary Children's Home thing? He said, he just mentioned, no, not really. It's just some friends, I guess. They're teaming up and going. And he asked me if I would mention tonight, if you have anything to donate. It was an extremely short notice. He just wanted to offer that to you guys. You can bring some stuff, non-perishable items, and the deadline's tomorrow. I'm sorry. I told him, I said, if we would have known a little bit in advance, then maybe we could have made it a church activity. You know what? Please see Dion or CJ. He kind of asked me about it, and I just told him, I said, I'll mention it to church, but y'all going to be the contact on that, because I was just asked about it, you know, just today, this afternoon. Yeah, today he said they will receive items up until tomorrow night. If y'all want to work that out, you know, see Dion or CJ. Like I said, you know, I've got some irons in the fire going on, and I just have no idea about any of this, to be quite honest with you. So I appreciate him doing that. That's very thoughtful and kind. But just see him, CJ, or like Miss Lee Ellen said, you can bring some items to the ladies' thing tomorrow. That'd be great. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. All right. So remember that. That'll be great. And candy donations we're taking right now. Would appreciate that if you would like to donate some candy in our beautiful bin right here for our trunk or treat, which will be on the 27th. If you want to decorate your trunk, like to participate, we have a sign-up sheet for that right over here to my right, just over my right, my left shoulder if you're looking at me, right here behind the organ. You know where I'm talking about. Remember that. Remember the day before that, Saturday the 26th, we're going to have outreach down at the soccer field. So that's mounting up to be a pretty good time. We've got some hats on order. And we even got some pink ones coming. That was a request from one of the persons in the community. And so we got that coming. I'm working on some church cards right now. I got them in my basket on Vistaprint. And so I'm still working on it. It's nothing you want to rush through, but we do need some material to hand out. So working on that. So that's shaping up. And again, I just want to highlight the storm victims, the hurricane coming in, all of that tonight. We'll pray in just a few moments. But let's remember them. Let's remember our children's home staff and children, young people. Of course, Brother Allen, as his back continues to heal. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, continue to remember them. My grandparents, if you would, James and Shirley Townsend, Don and Carla Rich. And Miss Carla's brother, how's he been? Don, has he been on the assisted living? Okay. I think I know where it's at. But we are continuing to pray for him for sure. Miss Connie Norton, Diane Ely, Claudia Harold, the dailies. I believe Jim goes Friday to see a surgeon to see what's going to be done with that. The Ashworths, remember them. Jimmy and Jenny Clayton. Miss Emily McCrickard. Joyce Manning. James Tolan Brown and the Marines. Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. Of course, Jamie Carden with the Air Force. And we're going to get him listed here on the bulletin along with the others. But Miss Emily as well, Emily Carden. She's still recovering, Miss Chrissy? Okay. All right. Just remember her. Hassan, do you have a hand up?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We sure will, buddy. Thank you for mentioning that, Hassan.
Yeah.
Thank you for mentioning that, buddy. We'll definitely pray. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
14 people in our family. John signed the paper. My nieces and nephews, and none of them left. They won't stay.
Yeah.
And then my niece lives in Vero, has a house in Vero Beach, but she just went through the storm in Augusta.
Hmm. Yeah.
They left there to go here, and now
they're there. Mm. Yeah. Yes. Mary Kelly, you got some too, don't you? Cocoa Beach, yep. Yep. We'll remember them. That's near some of our friends over in Orlando, Kissimmee area. Yeah. And the woods. Some of y'all may remember Charisse, Lily's good friend. She's down there. Ben and Tara Wood, all of them. And I texted him before church tonight and just told him that we love them. We're praying for them. Be safe. And, of course, he texted back and said, thank you. Yes.
She lives in Palm City, which is just north of West Palm Beach, and they're expecting to go that side. Yeah, but they made it here
did come. Okay. Does anybody know what time it's supposed to make the shore? Okay, yeah. Okay. Miss BJ?
My subdivision is filling up, but they don't have it.
Is it? Wow.
And so I offered my home, and I may have some single ladies that will be staying there.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that. We'll remember that. Of course, people coming up, they should probably appear in our community.
I heard there's some places that have got forced evacuations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No way. Wow. Now that is morbid. That's serious stuff. I say, just leave if you can. I couldn't imagine writing my name on my body so they can identify me if something happened, but that makes sense. But that is very, very morbid. I mean, very, very real stuff right there. Yeah, so I haven't heard that, Ceylon. Thank you for sharing that. It makes sense. I mean, yeah. It makes sense. Wow. Anybody else have anything they want to share tonight? I know there's other stuff moving around in here, but I can't pull it right now. But thank you so very much for coming tonight. And if you'd like to gather around the altar, if you're able to and want to, you can. Or you can stay where you're at, as we normally do. Let's remember Brother Jeff tonight. He hurt his back, and he's at home resting that up. So we're going to pray audibly together, and then we're going to dive right into the lesson tonight. And then we may be out a few minutes early. We'll just see. All right? So all that would like to meet with us in the altar, you can. And like I said, we're going to do something different. We're going to pray together and out loud. And you can pray out loud. You can pray to yourself. Follow along as I pray. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. But we're going to take our time, and we're going to pray. And got some other things to pray about as well. So we'll just relax in the Lord. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we just take our time tonight. We're in no rush. This is called prayer meeting and Bible study, and it has been for years. Lord, if we could ever learn how to just be patient in prayer and take our time and not be rushed. It's so easy to rush when we bow our heads to pray. But God, we do come to you tonight. In Jesus' name, we enter into the throne room of grace that the Bible says that we have. We know we have a high priest which is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so, Lord, we intercede tonight. We stand in the gap the best we can for our family and our friends that, Lord, that are in harm's way tonight. Hurricane Helene has passed through, and there's devastation left, and now Hurricane Milton's getting ready to approach land down in South Florida. And so, Father, I just pray a blanket of protection upon the whole state of Florida. God, upon the family and the friends that have voiced their care and concern tonight, we pray for protection and safety, Lord. And God, for all of the others, we don't know the path that the storm is going to take. But God, you know the path that the storm is going to take. And so whoever may be in that pathway, Lord, I pray for protection and safety. And Father, at the same time, we do pray that we would take this storm seriously, this physical storm seriously, and make sure, God, that we're right with you. And Father, if there's anybody in Florida or the pathway of the storm that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray tonight that they would do business with you. Holy Spirit, that you would visit their situation tonight, and that they would find it simple to call on you for salvation. And for those who are already saved, God, I just pray, Lord, for them that you would speak to their hearts and calm their fears tonight as they're in their safe place. And Lord, just be their peace and be their calm as we sang the song many times around here. Lord, you are the eye of the storm. You bring that sense of calm into our lives. And Father, as we're praying this prayer about a physical storm, God, there's been a spiritual storm since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And God, I pray that you would be with us spiritually in our unseen storms. And no doubt, Lord, as Calvary Baptist Church has congregated here tonight and people are here and they're smiling, God, I know that there are unseen storms going on in the hearts of those that are here tonight. Things that they don't even want to talk about, but you know about them, Lord. And as someone said this morning on the radio, this storm, it's only going to last through the night. There's going to be the daylight time when the clouds part and we see what the devastation is and the disasters are tomorrow. Lord, we can take some comfort in that, to know that the storm is only going to last a little while. Although it can do great, devastating things during the night, Lord, it's only going to last a little while. And so I pray, God, you'll keep everyone safe until morning. Spiritually speaking, Lord, keep us all safe until morning as well. We're all going through things, Lord, different areas of life. And James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Lord, we're living a short time on earth, and it's been a storm. But morning is coming. One day we will be with you, Jesus, and it will be the S-O-N shining forever, eternally. A place where there's no more tears, no more fears, no more pain, no more sorrow, heartache, none of those things. The former things, Lord, we will remember no more, because we'll be at a perfect place, a place called heaven. Just as in the Old Testament, as Noah spent his life building that ark, and then he got in, and then when he got out, it was a brand new world. Lord, we are in the ark of God down here in Jesus. You are our refuge, our safety. But God, one day in heaven, we're going to step out into a brand new world, and the storm's going to be over. So God, help us continue to preach Jesus while we're here. Continue, Lord, to help us. Let our light so shine before men while we're here. It's a dark time, but Lord, one day we'll be there. And help us, Lord, to be careful to bring somebody with us. We do pray for everybody on our prayer list tonight. We lift up every life, every person, every situation, every prayer request that was mentioned. God, we thank you for the praises, things that weren't mentioned that we know you worked in our life this week. We thank you for those things. And God, thank you for just everything you have done here at Calvary. Through the years, Lord, we don't thumb our nose. We don't look away from what you've done here. God, we're so thankful that you've worked here through the years. We're just asking, God, that you'll do it again. Lord, do it in my generation. Lord, use young people, God. We want our young people to be used for you, Lord. We want our young people to carry the torch here in future years at Calvary, God. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within you. And so, Father, we have the ability through Jesus to do something great. Help us, Lord, to just bridge that gap from the younger to the older and keep it going, God. We just love you tonight. We're so thankful for our Wednesday night meetings, prayer meetings, Bible lessons, and studies. We pray for our young people downstairs and our teachers, Christy, Brian. We pray for Darlene. We pray, dear God, for all the teachers, Lord, that are teaching tonight, whoever they may be, Lord. Our young ladies' Bible study that's going on as well, bless that, Lord. I pray that someone will be saved tonight and a Christian will be encouraged, and maybe even a Christian brought back to the cross to walk a little closer with you. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. I like the old song, that the hymn, Brother Cilla, maybe you can help me think of it. It talks about the prayer wheel turning. I feel a little prayer wheel turning, knowing a little fire is burning. What is that? Have a little talk with Jesus? I think that's it. Have a little talk with Jesus will make it right. Well, I tell you, prayer is something that we're attacked in. We're attacked in the moment of prayer. We're attacked by our own selves, our minds, what we got going on, by the devil, you know, by the past, all kinds of things. It just seems like there's so much peace to be found and strength and energy. If we could, speaking of me, if I could ever get to a place of just, you know what, Lord, I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to stay until I feel better. Isn't that right? So much to be gained in prayer. Thank you for taking your time and praying with us tonight. And we'll continue to lift up those in prayer down there in Florida and surrounding areas. And just remember Dion and CJ and those that are going. If you want to bring something tomorrow, will be a good time for that. All right. Psalm 13 tonight for a few moments. Psalm 13. I will say this, that we Christy and I and Lily, we started a small collection down there already. Miss Leela, y'all probably will see it down there. Miss Christy has it somewhere down there. But there's a small collection starting already, and so that'll be there for tomorrow. And so just remember that, if you would. Non-perishable items going on the trip to help the storm victims, Hurricane Helene, and potentially from Milton. Psalm 13, if you would. Psalm 13. I do want to mention some things out of Psalm 13 tonight. And again, we may be through a few minutes early, and that'll be okay. We'll make up for it on Sunday. Sunday morning or Sunday night. Notice, if you would, Psalm 13, to the chief musician. This is a psalm of David. I want to read these six verses. It starts out by saying, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Through my years here at Calvary, I've certainly mentioned these verses before, probably preached on this entire psalm before. I know for sure I've made reference to various messages and lessons. But tonight, David, as we hear of David in many occasions, he is certainly going through a tough time. Can you hear his heart in these verses? He says, he asks four separate times, "Lord, how long? How long is this going to be this way?" Has anybody in here tonight ever wondered, how long will things stay the same? I mean, is anybody in here tonight ready for some change in some areas? You know, I mean, everyday life. We all have challenges, don't we? Whether it's physical stuff, whether it's mental stuff, spiritual stuff, family stuff, friend stuff, work stuff, school stuff. It's this stuff. Kind of makes you want to grab your hair sometimes and go like this, you know, and just, yeah. You know, I didn't know this. And I guess I'm telling on myself right now, but that's okay. It's for the Lord. My barber said, "Justin, get a little thin on the back there, buddy." I said, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, I mean, I've lost some weight, and if I ain't careful, I'm going to be putting it back on. But no, in the back of your hair there. So I said, well, what are you going to do about it? You told me I'm thinning out on top and the back. What are you going to do about it? And my barber is actually a female, and she's been cutting my hair for 10 years, and so I call her my barberette. She says, I got some black hairspray, or some black hair paint. No. Y'all remember them commercials back in the day with the, what is it? I can't remember. Has a man with a bald head, and they're spraying black hairspray or black hair paint. I'm not going to go that far. I'll just do what Brother Randy's doing, and I'll just shave it, okay? I'll just shave my head. I'm not going to hang on, you know. Some men can get away with a hairpiece, a toupee. I remember a guy at Floyd Road for years, he wore one, and yeah, we would talk out in the park a lot sometimes, and a gust of wind would come through and just puff that thing up and look like he's a raccoon or something, that thing waving in the wind. But anyway, I don't know why I got off on all that, just a little humor tonight. You know, hey, yeah, we need a little bit of funny, a little bit of humor from time to time, especially right now. But it make you pull your hair out if you're not careful. Make it turn gray early if you're not careful. Cassie's pointing at her head. And but David here is going through a tough time, and his enemies are after him. And he says, how long, Lord? How long? I'm ready for some change. But David's emotions got the best of him. And he's experiencing different emotions. In fact, in this chapter, it's like an emotional roller coaster. His emotions have changed his perception on some things. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? The word counsel there, it means to advise or give advice. It means to plan. So David is literally giving his own self advice when his emotions are running wild. He is trying to plot. He's trying to plan his way through this. He's talking to himself. Now, I know tonight I'm not the only one, I'm sure, who talks to themselves. Does anybody else talk? No, nobody here, right? No, I wouldn't be accused of talking to myself at any time. Truth of the matter is, it's kind of healthy. I mean, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to talk some things out from time to time. So if you ever see me and I'm kind of mumbling under my voice, I don't need to be admitted or anything. Not just yet, anyways. Okay? I'm just trying to talk some things out. And David was trying to talk some things out. He was talking his way through this. He was talking to God. He was talking to himself about a situation. And he was taking counsel in his soul. He was planning. He was giving advice to himself. And so that's what we see here. David is literally giving his own self advice. He's trying to figure it out. In another place in Scripture, David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Remember that? I've said that several times through the years. I love that verse in those verses. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away. And David says, I just want to run sometimes from my problems. I want to fly away and just leave it all there. Don't you want to do that sometimes? Just leave it all there. Fly away. Run away. You know, later on in that same chapter, when David was talking about flying away, he talked about flying away to the wilderness. And he said, I just want to fly away and I'll go to the wilderness and be alone. You know, sometimes it sounds good to want to fly away and run away. But in the Scripture, the wilderness is not a good place to be, is it? The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for many, many years, over 40 years. And we know that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. So sometimes we want to fly away, and sometimes we want to be at ease somewhere by ourselves, but that could also be a setup for big-time trouble. That's why I'm an advocate of coming together. Even when you don't feel like it, come to church. Have you ever came to church when you really didn't feel like it, but you left and you were so glad you did? Many times in life, listen, I'm no different than anybody else in here tonight or anybody watching on Facebook. There are times where I wake up and I just feel it. I feel the pressure. I feel the load. Things in my life, you know, and deadlines and responsibilities and things not going my way. But yet I would go on and do and achieve what I need to do that day. And many times, 99.9% out of those times, I walk away so happy. Maybe not skipping a mountain across the mountaintops, but I feel good because I achieved in spite of what was in front of me. I helped someone out. If you want to get out of a dark hole, you need to reach out to somebody and help them out of their dark hole. That'll get you. And both people can get out of their dark holes together. That's how it works. And so David is on this emotional roller coaster. And he's making decisions. He is trying to view his situation. And it's changing because of his emotions. Saying that tonight, I do want to share with you this lesson, this title. And it's called Surviving an Emotional Roller Coaster. Surviving an Emotional Roller Coaster. Not long ago, we took Lily to Six Flags for her birthday. Not only was I excited that it was her birthday and we were going to Six Flags, but this is the first time I've been at Six Flags since I lost any weight. And so you know what I was going to do? I could not fit into a roller coaster. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get the bar down, and it was embarrassing. I got there to prove one point. Lily said, "Come on, Dad, let's ride the Mind Bender or the Riddler." I said, "Let's go." And I knew I could fit in there because I lost 100 pounds. So I got in there, and I sat down, and I pulled that bar over my lap, and I was just like, Christy has a picture of me. I was doing a tomahawk chop as we're pulling out, going up that hill on that roller coaster. I was like, yes, I can fit. Yeah, oh, it was a great time. But I'll tell you this, went up there on that roller coaster, sea lawn way above ground, and I got to rethinking being on that roller coaster. I was like, okay, point proven. Go back. Let me get out. It was too late then. And we were up there, and then we started to go down, and that thing did a circle and a flip and twisted and turned. And I literally felt like my brain jar inside my skull. And I'm telling you, I've had headaches ever since. It probably did something to me. So we left there, and boy, I got off that roller coaster, and I was like, "Woohoo, yeah! What y'all want to ride next?" It was Lily, and I think Kristen was with us, and Christy, of course, was with us, and I must have rode five or six roller coasters. So there's definitely a thrill in it. But you know, it's a lot like life. It's 1 minute; you can literally wake up in one day, one morning, wake up, and everything be fine, and then boom, by lunchtime or sooner. There you go, down again. Back up, late afternoon, by dinner time, boom, back down again. Up and down, up and down. That's what David was going through. He was on this emotional roller coaster, and we all go through it from time to time. I want to give you three things tonight. Three things that happened while David was on his emotional roller coaster, and I want to try to just apply it to our life, our everyday life, if I can, by the help of the Lord. Number one, when David was on this emotional roller coaster, his perception of his heavenly Father was changed. Or at least he was struggling with his perception of the Lord. Notice, if you would, verse number one. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever?" Now, I'm not that smart, but what I know real good. And forever means a long time. Forever means forever. So there is definitely implication here of a long time. And so David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever?" David, in his emotions, enemies after him, his fear, his worry, his panic, his anxiety, wanting God to intervene, he feels like God has forgotten about him forever. Forever. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? Number two, he says, how long again? How long will thou hide thy face from me? He's thinking God is playing peekaboo. Remember that? Peekaboo. That's what he thinks the Lord is doing. He feels like the Lord is saying, okay, come find me. Remember that game? Well, peekaboo with the baby, but hide and seek. Remember? You tag somebody, okay, you're it. You go hide and count and all these things. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking the Lord is doing is playing hide and go seek, playing peekaboo. Verse number two, a third time he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Number four, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And so David's perception of his heavenly Father changed. David is now feeling as though God has forgotten him and God is hiding from him. I want to tell you this. This is the same David that said, Psalm 46:1, listen to this. Same David on one occasion said this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's an emphatic statement. That is a permanent statement. David says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But you see, it's always easier preached than lived. David is preaching that God is our refuge and strength, and he is. A very present help in time of trouble, and he is. And David was preaching it, but now he's living it. I can stand up and preach. Our Sunday school teachers can stand up and teach, and you know, all of those things, and we can say amen, and we can enjoy church together. It's one thing in here, though, and it's another thing out there. Easier preached than lived. And so David is now having to live what he preached. And so he's struggling. He's on this emotional roller coaster. How long? How long? How long? How long? Is what David's saying here. Tonight, when our emotions get the best of us, if we're not careful, our perception of God can change. Our emotions can dictate what we think of the Lord to know that we know to be true. Now, has God left David here? Has the Lord forsaken him? No. Has God forsaken you? Has the Lord left you? No. Brother Justin, what are you basing that on? I'm basing that on the Bible and the promises of God. Listen to this. Micah 3:6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Another word for that is immutable. Fancy word. He is immutable. He doesn't change. And so that tells me that there's times in life where I'm on an emotional roller coaster, where wondering where God's at, wondering if he's hiding from me, playing games. But in all actuality, he is right here with me. And he is right here with you. And he was right here with David. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so when we feel like God has abandoned us and God has left us, it's an emotional ride. That's why you've heard Pastor Snyder say it through the years, some of you, that you can't live your life based on emotions. And I say that myself. You cannot live your life based on emotions. You've got to live your life based on what this book says. If the Lord says he's not going to leave you, guess what? He's not going to leave you. And regardless of what Hurricane Milton's about to do, listen, the Lord is with those people down there. The Lord is with your family, Marianne, Mary Kay, Leo, everybody who has family down there and friends. The Lord is with them. And he is protecting them, especially those who know him as Savior. That is his obligation to his word. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And listen, it's a scary thing. I used to live down in Mississippi with mom and dad. And we would shelter in place. One time we lived at these apartments called patio apartments. And it was actually in Pascagoula. Everybody heard of Pascagoula, Mississippi? Sleepy little town of Pascagoula. That old crazy squirrel starting that revival in that church. Y'all remember that song? But I can remember Dad, I said, Dad, are we going to leave? He thought, no, son, we're going to ride this thing out. And I'm thinking, man, we're on a second story apartment. You know, if anything's getting blown over, we're going to blow away first. But Mom and Dad and my brother would stay there and would, like my dad would say, would hunker down. And it was scary. It was scary. But we always made it through it. And no matter how scary it is down there, easier preached than lived, the Lord is with them. The Lord is in your unseen storm tonight. Whatever you're going through, listen, we've got to decide when we're going to get off this emotional roller coaster and go from this to this. When is it going to happen? When will we trust the Lord? We all struggle in these areas, I know. But when it comes to life and when it comes to gleaning from God's word, we can glean from David in his life that he felt like the Lord had forgotten about him. And so David is now feeling as though God has forgotten him and God is hiding from him. It's the same David that said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Easier preached than lived, but at the end of the day, we got to live it. At the end of the day, we'll have opportunity to live it. So if you want to get off this emotional roller coaster, if you want to survive the emotional roller coaster of this world, then we have to understand perception. And the Lord is right here with us. He has not left. All right, there's a second thing that happened on David's emotional roller coaster. Not only David's perception of his heavenly Father changed, but David's perception of his foes changed. David felt as though the enemy was going to get victory over him and life would be over. What do you mean his perception of his foes changed? Because David didn't always feel like that they were going to get the best of him. David was a courageous man. It was David who, well, like you already know, when he was a little boy, the bear and the lion came to take one of his lambs, and he grabbed him by the beard and the paw and saved his lambs. He was a man of courage, a young man of courage. And then there was Goliath. And then later on down the road, Goliath had some relatives, if you remember that story. And David was fighting with those relatives of Goliath, other giants. And David had some good men that jumped in and helped him on that fight. He almost died, but he survived. And it's the same David that said this in Psalm 62:2. I'll just give it to you. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. But notice in verse number 4 of Psalm 13, he is going up and down this emotional roller coaster, and he says, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David said, God, you've got to do something because I feel like I'm going to be moved by my enemies. This is the same David that said, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He preached it in Psalm 62:2, but now he's having to live it here in Psalm 13 in verse number 4. He feels like he's going to be moved, and not only that, he feels like that when he is moved, the enemy will rejoice and say, he is no longer on the throne. He is down and he is dead. Isn't that a sad thought for someone to think that someone would rejoice if you were gone? Gone from, if you were not doing good in life anymore and you were in poverty and living in poverty kind of conditions, or even if you were dead, isn't that sad? To know that someone is rejoicing because you're dead and gone? David said, God, if you don't do nothing, my enemies are going to kill me and they're going to rejoice about it. You know, I did hear a preacher say one time, he says, I want to be such a threat to the devil that when I die, there'll be a holiday. in my name. They'll be, you know, everybody will be scared, or they'll be celebrating in hell that I'm gone. But there'll be a holiday in my name because I was such a threat to the devil. You know, there's, it's sad, but some people are malicious and some people are mean, and they want us to trip and stumble. Definitely the devil wants us to trip and stumble. The devil wants us to be moved from following the Lord. Even people in our life we talk to may have alternative motives and may be malicious and may, you know, smile in our face. But when we turn our back, they got a knife going in. They secretly want us gone. David says that at one time in my life, I knew that I wouldn't be moved, but this time I feel like I'm going to be moved. Again, he says in verse number 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Verse 4, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. So David's view, David's perception of his foes changed. When our emotions get the best of us, if we're not careful, our view of our foes can change as well. We can feel like we're going down. We can feel like that we're going to crash and burn. We can feel like there is no way out of it. This is an emotional roller coaster. So what does the Bible say about our enemies? How can we be encouraged off of this? When our emotion says that we're going down, and the devil and our flesh and malicious people will get the best of us and rejoice when we're gone, what can we say to that? During your emotional roller coaster, you can quote or read Romans 8:31 that says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That who? What person, place, or thing, what can be against us if God is for us? And the answer to that is nothing. No weapon of warfare shall prosper against us. I don't care how malicious the intent is from a person. I don't care how dead set the devil is on trying to destroy you or me or our testimony. I don't care about none of those things, because I know if God is for me, who can be against me? We've got God for us. We've got God in us. We've got God with us. We've got God in front of us. We've got God behind us. It's a total 180 filled with God. So my word to you tonight is this: although your emotions may be up and down and you're feeling these crazy things and feel like you're going to drown and die, just take heart, take good courage, because God is with you and He will protect you. And in return, what we can do is not only take good courage, but we can stay connected to one another, pray for one another. Don't isolate, but communicate. And so that's what David felt. He felt like on this emotional roller coaster that these foes were going to get him. These enemies were going to take him out. All the while, he knew better. He knew better. Let us live our life not based on emotions, but the principles and the promises of God's word. Easier lived than preached, but at the end of the day, we've got to make a decision, don't we? Let me mention number 3, and we'll be through. Not only David's perception of his foes changed, but David's perception of his faith even changed. David's faith in God was faltering when his emotions were getting the best of him. But now his faith in God is flourishing. Something happened. Verse number 3, the Bible says this: consider and hear me, O Lord my God. So he's praying. He's praying. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That word lighten means luminary, or to illuminate. It's through the idea of a long night coming to an end and the sun rising. The break of day, it's getting daylight. David is saying, Lord, I've been in the dark for way too long. Please allow the sun to rise in my life. Does anybody want to see some sunshine in your mental state, in your heart condition? Does anybody here tonight, are we tired of the dark, dreary day and the assaults of the evil one and the whispers of Satan? Aren't you tired of that? Let's ask God to lighten our eyes, to illuminate some things, to illuminate His Word, to make real His promises in our heart, to allow the night to break and the day to come forth. Isn't that a wonderful thought, to see the sunshine again? And so He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He felt like he was going to die. Look, emotions can get the best of us. And at times they can, if we're not careful, change our perception and we can feel like we're going to die. Let me say this, since I'm speaking on such a sensitive subject. I think y'all are beginning to know that I'm definitely an advocate for mental health and getting better. I am. I really am. If anybody that's here tonight watching on Facebook, listening on the web, you know, take the dark times seriously. Now, I say focus on the Lord and you know, listen to Him, His Holy Spirit, and take His Word to your heart and know that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if you ever feel like taking your own life, please go for help. Not a lot of preachers or pastors I've ever heard talk about suicide. But I want to tell you, suicide is a real thing. And while I believe God's Word is sufficient for mental illness, God also has given us doctors for mental illness. There is a spiritual side and there is a physical side to this thing. And so what I'm advocating is bringing God's Word and doctors and medicine together in your life and getting to be a better version of you. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for me. So I'm definitely an advocate for better health mentally. And certainly if there's anybody here or watching on Facebook and you're having deep, dark thoughts of this world being better without you, it's a lie. This world will not be a better place without you. We need you in this world. We need you. God wants to use you. Don't let the devil and your flesh, and don't even let people tell you that God's not going to use you or you're unusable. You are precious to Him, and you are precious to your friends and family. I don't know who that's to tonight, but stay with it. Cling to God and His promises. Go see a doctor if you have to. We see David's view of his faith change because, I say that because he mentions verse number 1 and verse number 2. Verse number 3 is dread, and he's turning it into a prayer. He says, God, I feel like I'm going to die. He's not implying he's going to take his life, but he is implying death here. Verse number 4, he says, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He's talking about death and leaving. And so it's only natural to think that suicidal thoughts could precede that. But verse number 5. But, listen. God is most important. His Word is most important. Doctors are important. Medicine has its spot. But at the end of the day, there is a but here. But I have trusted in thy mercy. There is a freedom when we fully trust. With all that's within us, when we fully let it go and we fully cast it on the Lord, when we have fully moved it to Him, there is a liberty here. There is a deliverance. He says, my heart shall rejoice in thy deliverance or thy salvation. If you've done that, if you've given it to the Lord the best you can, and you're still not better, see a doctor. But at the end of the day, this is our ultimate healing, is trusting God with our situation. I've said recently, and I'll say it again, that the last thing we want to hear when nothing makes sense is that God works all things together for good. That's the last thing we want to hear, if you're honest like I am. But at the end of the day, there are times where we need to hear that the most. When life is at its best, God works all things together for good. And then when life is at its worst, somebody tells us that, and we want to slap them. Huh? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't tell me that. But on the same token, I will say this. When you feel like slapping somebody for telling you Romans 8:28, you need to hear it the most. Because God is working everything together for our good in His glory. And so you may not need to hear Romans 8:28 right now. There'll come a time where you will need to hear it, although you don't want to hear it. So please take the Bible to heart and the verses thereof. David is praying here. He is transitioning in his faith. Look at verse number 6. I will sing. And I'll tell you this. For someone to sing at any point in time, it takes a change of something on the inside. Now, there's times where I sing around here, and normally it's at an invitation time, and if the Holy Ghost, if the Lord is in me, I'm filled with love and boldness, I'll hum along, sing along with, you know, Randy and Alan. All right? There's times where I'm by myself, where I'm filled with joy, and I'll sing, and nobody's around me, so it don't matter, right? I'll just sing. But those times where I'm discouraged, those times where it's dark and I don't want to talk to nobody, those times it's hard to sing. It's hard to sing. You remember who sang at midnight on one occasion in the New Testament? They were bound in fetters and chains. They were shackled, had stripes on their back, yet they started to pray and sang praises unto God, Paul and Silas. Paul prayed because his name starts with P. Silas sang because his name starts with S. That's not in the Bible, but that's how I look at it. Paul prayed, Silas sang. Whatever. What happened? Oh, it got so dark that they just died. No. There was an earthquake. Things started to happen when they prayed in their darkness. Some of the best praying we could ever do is when we're broken and in the dark. Best praying we could ever do. It's not when everything is fine and God is blessed and, hey, car's not breaking down, we're making it to and fro and everything is fine and dandy and we're keeping our weight off and everything is lovely, lovely. That ain't when we do our best praying. We do our best praying when we feel like we're going to die is when we do our best praying. Amen? That's when we go to God. And listen, we ought to pray in the good times, but we also ought to lock in with the Lord or grab that throne chair, the throne room of grace where the Lord is seated, and pray. Paul and Silas shook heaven that night. There was an earthquake. And so David here in his emotional roller coaster, something happened. He was tired of the dark. He was tired of thinking about God being his refuge and being stable and sturdy through the storm, but yet he felt like he was going to be moved. He was tired of that. And so he gets to a place in his darkness where he says, but I have trusted, Lord, everything within me. He says, I have trusted in thy mercy. And so David is implying here, in times past he has trusted in thy mercy, but even right now he's trusting in his mercy. Mercy. The kindness of God. David is saying, God, you've been so kind to me in the past. You've helped me with all these areas in my life. You remember that one time where David was, he was on the run again, and he went to the camp of the Philistines to hide out, had nowhere else to go. And then he was before the king, and he could have been put to death, but he acted like a wild man. He started to spit, and it was drooling on his beard. And And what happened? The king let them go? David had had times like that. And this is another situation like that. God worked in that particular weird situation in David's life, and he worked here as well. David is praying, and God is moving. His faith was faltering, now is flourishing. He says, I will sing unto the Lord. He says, I've trusted in your mercy. In the past you've been kind. I'm trusting in your kindness now. And then I'm going to have faith for the future. You know, trust has to do with the past. Faith has to do with the future. Trust, if you trust somebody, I think I said this not long ago, and Ceylon was sitting right there, and I used him for example. If you trust somebody, then that secures you for the present. And trust has to do with the past. I trust Ceylon with everything within me. And it goes back to our past together. We've been here going on 8 years as members, going on 7 years next July as the pastor. Time flying, isn't it? Ceylon has been there for me. Thank you, brother. Every step of the way. And you have too. But I can trust him because of the past. And so David says here that I trusted in thy mercy in the past. I trusted in thy mercy, and trusting in thy mercy now. You have been kind to me, and you'll be kind to me now. So trust has to do with what God has done. Faith has to do with what God's going to do. And when trust and faith come together, you have a flourishing faith. And so David's faith in God was faltering when his emotions were getting the best of him, but now his faith in God is flourishing. Let's see. I won't give it to you for the sake of time, but if you go back and you read Psalm 40, verse number 1 through 3, those are really good. They're all good verses, but those verses he was in, I believe those are the verses that talks about he was in the miry pit trying to get out. God heard his cry and delivered him from a horrible pit. You can go back and look at them verses. If I'm wrong, I stand corrected. But Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. Some other good verses to be reminded of about these emotional roller coaster experiences is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I love these two verses. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Easier preached than lived. But at the end of the day, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Next verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Along those lines, that's my choppy version. I don't know if, and you don't have to say nothing, it's fine. I talked with somebody the other day about this, but I changed probably 2 or 3 years ago how I end my prayers. I don't always end them this way, but I have changed them a little bit, because I was praying one day and I was asking God to do this and asking God to do that, and you know, I was like, in Jesus' name I pray. But then I got to reading these verses in Philippians, verse number 6, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I got in a habit of every time I close my prayer out to say with thanksgiving in my heart. And I don't know, it's just that verse just stuck with me, and most of the time I say it, and I pray audibly, I say it, you know, publicly, definitely privately. But I want to be careful to thank God for what he has done, because I can trust him because of what he has done. I can trust him. You can trust him. We may experience some horrible things in life. We may experience some betrayal. We may experience some heartache, some pain, emotionally, ups and downs. But at the end of the day, we have a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And he is with us tonight. And the message is just that. It's surviving an emotional roller coaster. Our perception can change of our Father if we're not careful, our Heavenly Father. Our perception of our foes can change, meaning God's for us, who can be against us? If we're not careful, we can think that we're going down by the enemy. And then our faith can change for the better. if it's faltered, it can flourish. And so tonight, that's the lesson. Surviving an emotional roller coaster. He says, I will sing unto the Lord. Let me back up verse 5, then 6. Got to read it all. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation or deliverance. Deliverance is coming. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The word bountifully, he has dealt well with me. He has dealt very well with me. And so therefore, I will sing unto him because he is furnishing me a table in the wilderness, what I need to get through. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you have done. And we praise you for what you're going to do. God, we don't understand it all. We certainly, Lord, don't agree with everything that happens in life, especially the bad things. We don't like bad things. If we could choose a different route, we would, Lord. We would. But at the end of the day, Lord, you know what's best for us. Help us not be storm creators, but help us be storm survivors. Meaning, God, I don't want any storm to come in my life because of what I do, but Lord, I want to survive the providential storms that you bring me through, and I will. We will. We will be better Christians, better moms and dads and grandparents, great-grandparents, because of your providential storms that we can't control. But at the end of the day, Lord, whether it's something we caused or whether it's something that you are allowing or you have providentially allowed, you do work all things together for good. For those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to your purpose. And so we thank you for Romans 8:28. Again, be with everybody in harm's way tonight in the storm's pathway. Keep everybody safe. Make believers, Lord, out of those who are unbelievers. And I pray you'll keep all believers safe. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Hope you got something. And we basically say the same thing every service, just in a different way. You know? And so hopefully you got something. And everybody have a good night. Anything to mention? You're at liberty to go.